I'm grateful today that he's gone. I imagine what it must have been like when the ladies showed up at the tomb that morning, and of course he was gone. What exciting day that was, but you know what? It's just as exciting today to understand that our Lord and Savior is risen from the dead. He's not there anymore. He's gone, and we know where he's gone. And we know where we're going to when we die. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Every Easter, I try to come up with a message about the resurrection in some way or the other. And oftentimes, I do preach about the tomb. The ladies come in there, find it empty in the excitement that was there. But a passage of Scripture has been brought to my attention this week, not just this week. I've seen it many times. But a question that is asked, if Christ be not risen, can you imagine what it would be like had Christ not arisen from the dead? And I think today we're going to look at some things that will, I hope, be of help to us. But if you have your Bibles, follow along with me as I begin reading 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll begin in verse number 12. Now the Bible said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then also, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of most men miserable. You know, today as we think about this, if in this life is our only hope, we ought not have any joy. We wouldn't have anything today to lean on, but today our hope is not in this life, but our hope is in the Lord. And I'm grateful today for what God has done, and I'm grateful today that he did arise victorious over the grave. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time, the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today and open your word. And Lord, today, how sad it would be if we were wrong, but we know we're not wrong because we know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable. Lord, we know because of your presence in our life. Lord, we know because of the actions and the things that you do for us on a daily basis. And Lord, we know because we feel your presence even right now. And Father, today I pray that you would have your will and way. I pray that you would guide and direct. Lord, bless now this service, we pray. We'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. You can go to the graves of many leaders that have died, whether it be some cult or whether it be some other like Confucius or Buddha or someone that people worship, and you'll find their graves still are very much filled with the person that has been placed there. But if you go to the tomb of Jesus, you'll find that he has been resurrected from the dead. And again today, he's alive. He's just as alive as he's ever been, and he's alive forevermore. I want to share with you some thoughts today about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, most of our doctrine is based and centered around the resurrection. First of all, the resurrection shows his deity. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, we know who he is by the power of the resurrection from the dead. Not only do we find that it sets forth his deity, but it settled our debt. In Romans 4, 24 and 25, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, everywhere you go in the Bible, no matter what it is, whether it's proving the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ or whether it's proving the fact that our forgiveness comes because Jesus Christ has arisen from the grave, everything centers around the resurrection. I do not believe in salvation being a believe-easy religion. I believe that there's certain things that you have to believe in order to be saved. I believe you have to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to understand today, if Jesus was not alive, how could we get our sins forgiven? But not only did it prove his deity, and not only did it settle our debt, thank God today, my debt has been paid in full, my sins have been forgiven, but it also secured our destiny. I'm glad to know that I know where I'm going when I die. I'm glad to know that you can know where you're going when you die. I'm glad to know that our God, who gave his life of his son upon the cross of Calvary in order that he might die for our sin to procure and secure our eternal salvation with him. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 7, but God, I like it when you're reading the Bible and you come along to a passage of scripture that says, but God. Because when it says, but God, that means things are fixing to change. Something's fixing to happen, and he's fixing to reveal a truth to us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see what he's saying? Today, heaven is real because Jesus arose from the grave. Friend, I want you to know this morning that Jesus said before he left this earth, and I'm glad that we got a record of that. Somebody said, how you know you're going to heaven? Because I believe the Bible is the Word of God. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house I would have told or many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friend, I'm telling you, somebody said, how you know you're going to heaven? Because I have his word. He gave me his promise, and I know one day that I'm going to be in heaven. But just suppose this morning, if Christ had not risen from the dead, where would we be? What would we be experiencing? What would be in our life? First of all, I'd say today, if Christ be not risen, the truth that I preach this morning would be in vain. It would be preaching without truth. For you see, the Bible said in verse 14 and 15, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. And in understanding today that not only our preaching in vain, but your faith also is in vain. I'm grateful today for many of you that have come out today to the service to hear the Word of God. And again, I think we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But again, at some point, we must trust in the Lord to understand. Somebody said, well, I can't sleep at night because I'm worried about where I'm going to go when I die. Friend, you don't have to worry about where you're going when you die. You can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know because he not only died and not only was buried, but he arose from the grave victorious. Preaching of the Word of God, it touches the intellect and the heart of man. Friend, today I want you to know that I have no power within myself or with my words to convince you about anything. But as I've said earlier in the message, the Bible said the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God is preached in order that it might get to our minds and our intellect. Now today, I'm not a great scholar, and I know I'm far from being the smartest man in the world. In fact, I would rate way on down there somewhere, but thank God I have a teacher in the person of the Holy Spirit of God that enables me to understand the truth of the Word of God and to reveal to me that Christ rose from the dead. All true preaching, listen to me, all true preaching is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if anybody tells you anything else, you better turn the channel. You better find another church. You better get somewhere else, because, friend, today we're all, I believe, united in the fact that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. And today our salvation has been secured and our place in heaven has been secured. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, this is strong. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying if Christ is not risen from the dead, then he would be a liar. But Christ is no liar. The Bible said he is truth. And in him, that's all there is truth in him. It is said of the Apostle Paul after his conversion. Listen, here's Paul. Now, you remember the life Paul lived. I'm telling you, he was a, I don't know how to describe it. He was a very angry and very vicious person. He got struck down on the road to Damascus. And you know what the Bible said when he got struck down? He said, Lord, what would I have me to do? And the Bible said, in straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue. Now, if you go back and if you look in the scripture to where it talks about Paul, you'll find that Paul's message consisted of the death, burial, and resurrection. Somebody says to me, and I've had people tell me quite often, they said, well, your preaching is so simple. Listen, I'm not here today to try to win you over that I'm some kind of scholar. I'm here today to convince you of the truths that are in the Word of God, that we might know them. I was listening yesterday to David Jeremiah, and he was preaching a series out of Revelation on the last days, and he was talking about it, and basically he come out himself, and I think he's a very intelligent man and a very smart man, and I'm grateful many times when I get opportunity to listen to him. But he said, look, I don't understand it all. He said, there's many questions that are unanswered for me right now. But he said, I'm going to take what I understand. And he said, and basically he was talking about witnessing and telling people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse number 15, he said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. I tell you today what a sad day it'd be for us to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. I tell you what, we would look like a fool if Christ had been not risen. But friend, I tell you today, I don't know how anybody could not be convinced that he's risen. The Bible is filled with passage after passage after passage that points to the fact that he arose from the grave. That means that for almost 2,000 years, if Christ had not risen, God's men had been perpetrating a lie. And we're found as liars. But I'm going to tell you something today. We're not liars. I'm telling you the truth. Friend, I tell you, the power of God, and I'm not saying this about me in particular, I'm grateful, but I can tell you, I've seen the power of God. I've seen the hand of God. I've seen the work of God. I felt the presence of God. I know that God indwells me. And friend, I tell you, I don't know how to tell you any kind way, but I can tell you this. If you say Christ be not risen, you're the one that's a liar, because Jesus Christ testified and gave us the scripture. And not only that, but he proved time and time again that he arose from the grave. I love the cross. I love to preach on the cross. I want to Now, it's not that I love it. The cross is a picture of anger. It's a picture of cruelty. It's a picture of Christ being beaten and his life given. And we look at that and we say, oh, Christ loved us so much that he was willing to do that. But if I stopped there, I would fail in preaching the true gospel. For friend, it's not just the cross that saves us. It's the death, it's the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I could preach on the substitutionary death of Christ for sinners, but that's not the full story. The gospel is not the gospel without the resurrection. Friend, today how it saddens me, for several years now we've done our Easter cantata, and I would have loved to have had the cantata this year, but you know what? God didn't see fit for us to have a cantata. And by the way, could I just throw this out? I believe with all my heart God's trying to get people's attention, to wake them up, to understand. And I'm praying when this Easter's over, there's going to be more people that see the reality of the resurrection than they were before we went into it. I could preach about his death on the cross. It would be good news that he was willing to die, but it would not be the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, never leave out the resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection provides the gospel that provides salvation. And second of all, we see faith without forgiveness. I'm telling this morning, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to have my sins forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb. We sing a song sometime. It's called, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? I'm grateful today. Look at verse 16 and 17. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. First of all, the Bible says, Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 6, it said we must believe that he is. Our salvation is based on faith. Our salvation is based on faith. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no way to get to heaven apart from accepting what Christ did for us on the cross and having faith enough to believe, faith in the resurrected and living Lord. This past Thursday, we mentioned about Brother Jones, and I reminded the folks, and I remind you this morning, friend, I tell you, that grave is not the end. I believe the Bible teaches absent from the body is present with the Lord, and I believe today Brother Jones is rejoicing in heaven. I tell you what, I guarantee you, I can't explain how everything is, but I can tell you one thing, he's not hurting, and he's rejoicing with his Lord and Savior. But you know the good news is one day when the Lord comes back, he's going to resurrect those dead bodies out of the grave. We're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and that could not take place had Christ not risen himself. So we think of the importance of faith in a resurrected living Lord. Then we see if Christ be not risen, we have misplaced our faith. We have believed a lie and are all damned. Friend, I want to tell you today, I have proof and I have power that Jesus Christ is alive and well, that he's still in the saving business. And today, I see, as I mentioned already, I thank God for his hand of mercy. I thank God that he's alive. He said in Revelation 1:18, for I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. I want to say to you this morning, if you're listening to me, if you're able to listen by internet or whether you're listening here, friend, Jesus Christ holds the key to where you will spend eternity, and what you have to do is accept what Christ has done for you, believing that he has been raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father today. Oh, I hear people today say, I don't want to believe all that. That's just too much. This is just a fairy tale. Friend, you're going to find it's not so much a fairy tale when it's all said and done. Friend, you're going to understand the truth, and God may be in these hours trying to get our attention. And by the way, when somebody gets saved, and I question about the salvation, I ask them about how they got saved, and they share with me a little bit about it, and I can tell in a few minutes whether I feel good about their salvation, because the salvation of a person must be determined by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. There's no other way that he could provide salvation had he not been. You must believe that he died. There's some people said, when he was on the cross, he just swooned. He passed out and they revived him. No, my friend, they said every drop of blood came out of his body, and it even came to the point of water coming out. And yet, he died only to be raised again on the third day according to the Scripture. And because of that, you and I, our sins have been forgiven. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. How could he sit down at the right hand of God had he not arose from the grave? Friend, I'm telling you this morning, if we say Christ be not risen, and by the way, you remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, and they were sad, you see. But I can tell you today, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I go so far as to say, as people that do not believe in the resurrection of Christ are not saved and they're not going to heaven. But praise God today, my faith is not in vain. I'm grateful today when I come to the end of the road. I'm grateful today when I come to the end of life. I believe that when I take my last breath here, I'll take my next breath on the other side in the presence and in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe your sins are forgiven this morning? Are you grateful your sins have been forgiven? Then I submit to you today, you must believe in the resurrection. So, if there be no resurrection, our preaching would be in vain. And I'm going to tell you something. For 40 years, I've been preaching. And I'm not planning on quitting anytime soon. But I can tell you one thing. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His living in me, I could not have done what I've been able to do. Only what I've been able to do for 40 years is preach a truth which He has lit a fire in my heart to help me preach, to declare, thus saith the Lord. Then our faith would be in vain. I remember Doyle Robertson was here, and he went out witnessing one day, and he was at the trailer park next door. He knocked on a man's door, and the man kind of argued with him a little bit and said, it's just hard for me to believe that this man died and was buried and rose again. And I just basically, I just don't believe. I just can't believe. And Doyle told him this. I thought it was quite interesting. Doyle said, sir, he said, you know, wouldn't it be better to believe that Jesus came, bled, died, and was buried, and rose again, and accept Him, and come to your end of your life and die, and find out that that was true, and go to heaven? Wouldn't that be better than not believing anything or ever accepting anything? And understanding when you drew your last breath, you would immediately know that you had made a vast mistake, but you'd spend eternity separated from God forever and forever. I don't understand people that don't want to believe in God. Friend, listen, don't misunderstand me. I have full assurance in the resurrection and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind that heaven is real. There's no doubt in my mind that hell is real. And there's no doubt in my mind that I'm going to heaven when I die. But if the naysayers are true, and they're not. But if they were, what have you lost? Nothing. But what have the naysayers lost who would not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? They've lost everything, and they have spent eternity separated from God, separated from family, separated from friends, and separated in eternal place of darkness forever and forever and forever. And then thirdly, death without hope. The Bible said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, it's kind of interesting. We always talk about living forever and having eternal life. The realization came to me years ago that all of us are going to live forever, just not here. It talks about those who have died in the Lord, and it said they're asleep. What it means is they physically, their bodies died. But I give you assurance today that one day, as I've already mentioned, those bodies are coming forth out of that grave. You see, all those who have died with faith in Christ, literally, it seems as if they've perished. And if Christ be not risen, they have. It's all over. But I tell you, what is lost or what is destroyed, our hope in the resurrection. But I think today of how true it is today that we know that Christ is alive and well. I've given illustration, and many times we've seen people, and I really believe this. I don't see it always. We don't see it, but I've been at people's bedside, and I've seen things. I've seen them do things that make me know that even before they passed on, that they saw the glorious view of heaven just simply by some actions. You said, you believe all that? I sure do, because I believe when a person leaves here, there's a hand reaching down to receive them into the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he was saying here? He said, all who believe in Christ have hope in him. All who believe in him as a redeemer, they hope for redemption and salvation by him. But if there is no resurrection, there is no hope. And if all their hopes in Christ lie within the compass of this life, you know this life don't have much to offer, does it? We've surely seen that in the last 3 or 4 weeks. More so than we ever have before. This life has no hope. But in Christ, he gives us the hope of his coming again and his spending eternity with him there. Preachers and believers, therefore, have a hard lot if this life is all we have. But I tell you, we sing those songs, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace. And friend, he's not sending somebody else. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friend, the resurrected Christ is the one that is coming for us again. Somebody said it's better to be anything than a Christian. Under those terms, it would be if we had no hope of the resurrection. But friend, my hope is stronger today than it's ever been. My faith has increased more than it ever has. And my faith today lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in this life, carnal pleasures are tasteless to him in a great degree. His spiritual and heavenly pleasures are those which he ought to pant after. How sad in the case that most people, they want the worldly pleasure rather than the resurrected Christ. I'm grateful today, and I hate to say it, but I believe a lot of people today, many people, I'm hesitant to say it because I don't believe this is the case in everybody's, but I'm afraid some people is probably enjoying a break from church, and I know a lot of them aren't, but a lot of them probably are. And I tell you today, we must believe that we have hope in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If God had not the power to raise Christ, then what hope we do have? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up in his own power. In 2 Corinthians 13:4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live in him by the power of God toward us. And then lastly and quickly, sacrifice, if all we did, it'd be sacrifice without meaning. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of most men miserable. You know, if Christ be not risen, all the labor that you've worked for the Lord and the things you've done, they would all be in vain. But you know the Bible, look at verse 30. He said, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why did all the martyrs die for the cross cause of Christ if there were no resurrection? If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you ought to at least read part of it and might do well to read all of it. But men literally were burned at the stake because they would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was alive and well, and they knew that he was. Why would men give their very lives for a man who was in the grave? Friend, today, why would we worship someone that is dead? We don't worship a dead Savior. We worship a risen Savior. If our hope in Christ does not take us beyond this present life, he said, we're most men miserable. Friend, I tell you today, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Everything in Christian religion rests on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And listen, if you're witnessing and trying to tell somebody how to be saved, You must include the resurrection. If it could not be proved for one moment that Jesus never rose, the whole system of Christian religion would crumble if it could be proved. But the resurrection is the keystone. It's the ark of the Christian faith. Without it, all would be in vain. I say to you this morning, if Christ be risen, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the place where we are, have faith in God. He said, for without faith, it's impossible to believe Him, please Him. Friend, today, my faith is stronger today than it was yesterday. And friend, I'm grateful today that I serve a risen Savior. I hope today that you know Him. And I invite you today to come to know Him if you do not. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Friend, I want to say to you today, whether you're watching by internet, and I'm not sure if they're up, but again, if you're watching, I want to say today, Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross to provide salvation. But friend, I'm not here today to serve a dead God. I'm here today to serve a risen Savior. I tell you today, the circumstances that surround the last few weeks, things that have happened, surely seem strange. But God's arm is strong that it cannot be shortened. And I'm grateful today that God's hand still reaches down and ministers to us day by day. And I submit to you today the importance of having faith in God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the resurrection. Lord, help us to never get to the point to where we don't think about the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Lord, help us to understand it's just as much part of our salvation as anything we believe. I ask now that you guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. We'll thank you for what you do. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.